Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9. I'm here in Building 25 with Taylor Southwick and later on Connie Yao. We're going to talk about the .NET Portability Analyzer. That sounds very confusing, so help me out, bud.
So the .NET Portability Analyzer is designed to help people understand the portability issues that may be encountered going from one platform to another. For instance, if you are developing a Silverlight app, or a .NET Framework app on the desktop, and you want to move this to UWP. There are some APIs in the .NET Framework that have been moved or removed, and issues that may be encountered with some of the changes that the API surface area has undergone. Uh-huh. So this tool will identify what APIs you're using and what you may need to do to move forward to the new platform.
Awesome. So is this from anything to anything, or is it strictly from anything to UWP?
Anything to anything within the .NET ecosystem.
Oh, wow.
So this will, every version of .NET Framework on the desktop, Silverlight, Xamarin, Mono, and others, like Windows 8, Windows Phone, anything that is part of the .NET ecosystem, we have information about what APIs are in that surface area, and then we will tell you what you need to do to go to some other surface area you care about.
So this is like, for example, if I'm doing something on WinPhone 8 and then I want to go to UWP, there's a path for that.
Yes.
And if I'm using Silverlight and I want to go to Xamarin, there's a path for that too.
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable. So how'd you make this work? It seems like there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, so what this tool does is it will, you give it an assembly and it will analyze the references that you have to assemblies, to methods, to types, and try to determine what is a .NET Framework API. And then it sends that information to a web service that will tell that will do the actual logic to determine which API is in which target that you have specified.
I see. So let's draw it out, because it feels like there's a lot more going on than just an assembly or an executable.
Right. So you've got an API. API port is one of the tools.
Okay.
Let's see if this is better. This is the console version of the tool.
Okay.
And we also have a Visual Studio extension. Much better. And these do similar things. And we'll show a demo of how these work.
Okay.
And what they do is you input assemblies. So DLL or EXE.
Okay.
And it will then go through the methods and types that you're referencing within your assemblies and compile a list of those APIs. And those API lists are then sent up to our web service. The portability service.
Uh-huh.
And up here we will determine which targets you're going against and what APIs are in those. So APIs and targets, and then it will generate a report and send that back down to you. These reports give information about the API portability index is one of the terms we use, the percentage of APIs that you're using that are not available in another platform.
I see.
One thing to keep in mind is that this does not tell you the number of counts of those APIs. It's purely a binary number of you have it or you don't.
I see.
So you are referencing a type that is no longer available. You may be referencing it once or 1,000 times. As far as our service cares about, it's once.
I see.
And one of the reasons why we're doing it in a service is, well, two main reasons. One, so we can keep the information updated. And another is so that we can learn what APIs are being used by customers. We've used this to determine the API surface area in UWP.
Okay.
And going forward, we're going to use the information we've gathered so far to determine what APIs we should move from desktop to the next version, the next assemblies in .NET Core. And
got it.
Like what APIs are important to customers.
So that's interesting. So the reason why it's a service, because the first thing I thought was, why does it need to be a service? But the thing about it is, if things change, the portability service will know about the change and say, oh,
correct,
we have this new foo thing that we want to target, so let's see if you can be portable to that. And the other reason, and this is even more interesting to me, is we want to see where the friction is moving between different platforms. Mm-hmm. Because we might discover, oh, they're using iFoo so many times here, and they're probably going to want to use it here as well. Maybe we should consider exposing that in, for example, .NET
Correct.
Core.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Very good. So anything else to add?
So this web service component is something you can turn on or off.
Okay.
And we will show this in the demo on how you can do that.
Okay.
But and so there's an offline mode if you're worried about sending information.
Sure.
We've done our best to limit what information is sent to our service.
Okay.
We recently added in the capability that it does a much better job of determining what is a Microsoft API versus a customer API. So it's if you get the most recent drop, as of this morning,
wow.
It will probably be only sending up a tenth of the APIs. And so it helps with speed as well as privacy concerns there.
Absolutely, because people might be concerned about, well, what is my code? What is
Correct.
It that's being sent up then? That's a good
question. We'll show a way that you can actually look at this information of
yep.
what's being sent. But essentially, it's a list of the APIs you're using. It's a list of the assemblies that are being referenced, as well as the name of your assemblies. And we gather that information so we can generate a report that is useful and actionable.
Awesome. All right, well, we'll stop there, and we're going to talk to Connie now, coming up right now. OK, we're back with Connie Yao. Tell us what you do, my friend.
What I do?
Yeah, what do you do? I forgot to introduce Taylor. I didn't say what he does. I just said I'm Taylor. So what is it that you do here at Microsoft?
I'm a software engineer for the .NET customer advisory team.
That's yes. awesome. So speaking about this particular thing, tell us about the reporting, because we didn't really get that much into reporting with Taylor.
Okay. Well, the .NET Portability Analyzer can actually give you currently three different report types. So you can get an HTML report, which is awesome when you want just like a general overview of
sure.
how portable your library is. It can also give you an Excel spreadsheet, which is good when you want to filter by, you know, what assemblies, what APIs are being used, what are the recommended changes. And there's also a JSON file format that we give you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good when you want to pipe your output into like another program to maybe determine some actionable items.
That's interesting. So are you sensing that maybe people are going to look at these reports, or they're going to sort of take them into their DevOps cycle? Or what do you think can happen with all these things?
Our goal is so that they can look at these reports, figure out how much work is required to move to the next platform, and then hopefully programmatically consume the reports to make changes.
Absolutely. So what else do you have to tell us about this?
Okay. Actually, one of the best things is that the reports is generated in our web service.
Uh-huh.
So in the future, if we decide to add, let's say, more output formats like CSV, you'll always get that new format choice. As well, all of our targets, API surface area, and recommended changes come from the service, which is updated regularly, so you'll always get the latest information.
So what's an example of a recommended change that the system might make?
Well, one of them is a lot of people use type reflection to get type info.
Yeah.
So that exact call doesn't exist in .NET Core, so we have a workaround like .getTypeInfo
That's
and
right.
then the class, yeah.
Absolutely. I actually ran into that myself,
oh.
and I'm so glad I found that. So yeah. this would have helped me see, oh, you're trying to get some type information using reflection.
Yeah.
It's going to tell me use reflection and then use get type info.
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. Well, cool. Anything else to add before we actually look at the code or look at the demo?
I think that's it so far.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and look at how this works. All right, Taylor. So let's get into seeing how it works.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
So the tool can be downloaded from the .NET API part repo on the Microsoft GitHub account. We have been developing this in the open for the past 6 months or so. And we have releases available on the releases page of GitHub. So I'm going to be showing this version 1.2.1 alpha. OK, so I have downloaded it here. And this is the collection of files in it, not super important. We will open up a console. And the first thing that we want to do is just look at what the options are. So if you just run the command API port, you will get a list of available options. So there's the analyze step, there's the list targets, list output formats, and doc ID search. This last one is not so important for analyzing portability, so we won't be focusing on that today. The step to list targets will give you information about the targets that are available. As you mentioned earlier, the tool allows to analyze assemblies against various targets within the .NET ecosystem.
So let me see if I understand. So for analyze, analyze is going to just look at your code.
Yes.
The targets, do you have to tell it a priori, I am considering moving to this target framework or .NET Core or whatever, and then that's what the report's going to be run against?
Yeah, so if you don't specify a target, it goes to some default ones. And I'll pull up that list by doing API port and running this list targets command. So what this command will do is it goes out to the web service, asks what targets do you support right now? And you get back a list of available targets. You see .NET Core, .NET Core cross-platform, .NET Framework, and so on, along with a bunch of versions. This asterisk implies that this will be included by default if you don't ask for a specific target. And so you can specify one of these targets that you want, or just go with the default set.
And the default setting will literally make you look at, will literally look at everything.
It will look at the ones marked by this asterisk.
Got it.
So you have the .NET Core 5.0, .NET Framework 4.6.1, .NET Native 1.0, ASP.NET 5 version 1. Those are the ones included right now. We change this periodically as what's the latest and greatest changes, so we change it.
That's awesome. And that's coming directly from the web service, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Cool.
So those are the targets available. It's also good to be able to see what the format outputs are available. So you can do this list output format command. And again, it goes to the service and finds what's available. So right now we have JSON, HTML, and Excel.
And this is stuff Connie was talking about earlier.
Correct.
Got it.
So once you know the output format and the targets, then you can run the analyze step. And this is one where you will pass in, let's see, help. You pass in the files that you care about, as well as various options. You can give it an output file name, but we will default to one if you don't. The only required parameter is giving it a file. And this file can be a file or a directory, and it will recurse into a directory and find any IL, anything that ends in .dll or .exe.
I see. So you can give it a specific assembly executable or just say, look for everything in this folder.
Correct.
Okay.
Some of these other options are good for reporting, such as description. If you're going to be running a lot of these, giving yourself a description for it can help when you're looking at the reports. It doesn't affect the analysis in any way, but it does help with reporting. Dash T is how you pass in a specific target. Result formats, you pass in what you want there. And the rest of these are not so important for analyzing portability aspect. The tool has a separate mode where it can analyze breaking changes between various versions of the same platform. We won't go into that today, but hopefully we'll get another demo of that out soon.
Awesome.
And so we will focus on the analyzing portable APIs.
Okay.
So to do this, we pass in a directory. So I've got the code formatting tool. It's one of the open source tools that the .NET Foundation has on GitHub. I'm going to pass in that directory. Let's analyze that for portability. And then we'll just go with the default, and we'll just run that. So the first step, as you see here, is detecting assembly references. And then it sends the data to the service. Depending on how big of a request you're doing or what time of day, it can change in how long it takes. The writing report step is it writes out the report that the service returns to it. So you see that it wrote out this file, and it defaults to the Excel spreadsheet. So we will open that. And you see that it has a list of assemblies you've inputted, as well as the target framework that it has, and then you get into this the information about the portability. And this is just a high-level heat map that you can use to gauge how portable your tool is, your assembly is. So this number is what we're referring to as the portability index, or it gives you a percentage of how many of the APIs you're using are portable.
So let's see if I understand that. So it's literally a percentage that says, of all the APIs I'm using, for example, in the code formatter, it's probably an XE or a DLL, 94.59% of the actual calls or APIs that you're referencing will work with .NET Native.
Correct.
I see. Okay, how do you find out which parts will not work?
So this tool does not go into that. The Visual Studio extension that Connie will demo after this, that allows you to drill into some of those, the actual call sites. API port is only looking at the references that you're doing to these APIs and does not go into the method invocations, or it doesn't crawl into the IL itself. So this makes it so it can analyze really fast, but it does limit you so that it doesn't tell you where you're doing this. So if you're just doing the console tool, you'll take this information and then you have to find where the APIs are. So this is the list of the APIs that it found that you're referencing, as well as their status. So you see here, not supported for .NET Native, ASP.NET 5, .NET Core, but then supported in 1.1+, 4.0+. So you see that it tells you what version it started being supported in. And you can then filter it on here for the ones that you care about. So if you want to see the not supported on .NET Core, then we will make that the only selected one, and you can see what you need to worry about. So this code formatting tool uses a bunch of Roslyn analyzers, as well as MS Build stuff. And you see that MS Build is not supported right now on .NET Core. There is work to doing this. It's on the GitHub page. There's been some good progress on that. But right now, this is being flagged as not supported there. And so you go down things like component model, .composition, .primitives, .composable parts catalog. This is not supported right now either. And so you can go through and you can see what these are, what members, what types are not available on the platforms you care about.
I see. So the first one was more of like an executive dashboard of, here's where we are, and the details tells you, okay, here's what you're using and here's where it's supported and not.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, it seems like there's one more.
There is. And so this tab tells you missing assemblies. These are assemblies that were not included in the analysis, but we detected as being referenced. We don't go in and try to resolve the assemblies during the analysis phase. We only look at the assemblies you pass in. So if you don't pass in one of the assemblies that is being referenced, it won't show up. So this is probably one that is in the GAC or some location that it's able to resolve in the CLR is able to resolve, but it's not in the current directory, so we didn't analyze it.
All right, Taylor, so you wanted to show us another thing that you can do from the command line, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So we mentioned earlier that there are some different modes that you can use beyond just the web service. So what I wanted to show is how you would use two of these. One is the ability to see what data is being transferred, as well as the offline mode where you don't use the web service at all.
Awesome. And so this data that's being transferred to the web service is the same data that's being transferred when you're using it in Visual Studio or the command line. Is that right?
Correct.
All right, cool. Let's take a look.
Okay, so for the first one, we use the same API port library for both of the API port tool for both of these, but we've built it in a way that using Unity to allow for services to be switched in and out. So we have directions on the GitHub page of how you can do this. If you go to the main repo and in our docs of how to, we've got an introduction, and at the bottom here, we have how to enable these alternate modes. So there's some config files that you drop in with a tool. So I've got the file here. So I'm going to drop that next to API port. And so I'm going to rerun the same step that I had done before. And now I have this API port analysis.json. So this file, instead of being the response from the web service, this is actually the request that we're sending to the web service. So you can see that we're collecting information about system.composition.type parts. If we wanted to see where code formatter turns up in this, we see that it shows up in this value part, which is the information of the assembly in which it was used. So code formatter is using microsoft.codeanalysis.workspace.desktop. And we can continue on, and that's pretty much where it shows up. So this is a new change that we recently added. We put the release up today that instead of collecting all of the APIs, we are only collecting the ones that we are pretty sure are Microsoft APIs. So if it starts with Microsoft or System or Mono, as well as if the assembly starts with any of those, or it's using any of our public key tokens to assign the assembly, those will then be sent to our service. Otherwise, we don't collect those. So the next mode is an offline mode. This one, we don't have a release available for on GitHub. Instead, we have directions on how you can build it yourself. This requires you to clone it, build the project, and you need to use this build.cmd command because it will gather up all the different assemblies needed and drop it into this apiport.offline directory. And then you can write it you can run it the same way. And so to show that this is really only, this is not doing any web calls, I have Fiddler up so you can see what it's doing. We'll just do the same command. And when you do it in the offline mode, you'll see that there's this extra step of loading catalog, and then it loads some breaking changes. It has to load the data that the web service already has loaded. So this adds some time to the processing step.
Where's the data coming from?
So that's a good question. This data is compiled in to the assembly when you build it. So at build time, it will gather up the data that it needs, the information about APIs, targets, where it's at version-wise. All of that gets put into the assembly, and it loads it from there.
And that's the assembly that you've custom built with the instructions on GitHub, right?
Correct.
OK, got it.
Yes. If you don't, if you leave it as is with that, then we don't have any way to update that information.
Of course.
So your information will become stale.
Got it.
That's the main reason why we recommend using the web service. It will always be up to date. And so as you see here, there was no call to our portability service. It looks like there was an Office 365 call, but that was it. So our tool is not doing any web calls when you're in this mode. And we understand that for some customers, this is important. But you also miss out on updated information about targets, APIs, and reports. And it does not give us information about the APIs you're using. So we aren't able to use that in our decision-making process for future versions.
Awesome. Well, thanks, bud. Mm-hmm. Connie, we just saw some really cool tools from the command line. You're going to show us some stuff in Visual Studio, is that right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, why don't you show us how to get started?
Awesome. So we actually have the .NET Portability Analyzer as a Visual Studio extension. So you can just download it from Visual Studio Gallery. And we actually just released an update this morning. So
nice.
You can check out all these new features. Awesome. So I've installed it here on VS 2015. And what a developer might want to do is look at how portable their shared library is. So I have a little side project on GitHub. It's open source that I use. And I feel like the parsing library code might be usable on different platforms. So what you can do is you can go to Tools, Options, and then you can click on .NET Portability Analyzer. And from here, you can select what kind of targets you want your library to also work on. So I'm interested in Android and iOS, so I'll select those. Awesome. And there are two ways that you can use this tool. The first way is to analyze a binary similar to the console tool. So you just go to Analyze Assembly Portability, and then you just pass in the compiled DLL. Ta-da. So What it outputs is an HTML page with the quick overview of, oh yeah, this is how portable my library is. The other way is that you can actually analyze your project. So you just right click on your project, analyze, analyze assembly portability. All right, sweet. And it gives us the same output. But the difference is that now we have, in the error list, we basically have all of the different portability messages. So right here, you see that system.exit, which I use my code somewhere, is not supported on .NET Core, .NET Native, or ASP.NET 5. And there's also a suggestion. They're like, use environment.failfast instead. So when I double click on this, it'll actually bring me to the line in source where I should fix this. So let's go and fix it. Fail fast, minus 100. Awesome. X. And what I can do now is reanalyze the assembly. Awesome. And I'll notice that that warning is no longer there.
Wow, this is like almost like unit tests for portability, right?
Yeah, basically.
Because when I do unit tests, right, I right click and then the little unit tests come up, and if something breaks or something's not right, I just right click and say go to test. Here you're going to the actual code that you're calling that maybe is not portable enough.
Yep, that is exactly correct.
Awesome. So what's the website again to go to download this particular tool?
You just go to the Visual Studio Gallery and just type in .NET Portability Analyzer.
Awesome. All right, so any final words that you want to tell the audience about this tool? Where are you guys going? What's going on with it in the future?
Sure. Go ahead, Taylor. You first.
So we have, as you saw, it's available on GitHub. And so we've been developing it there. We welcome any contributions people may have. One of the areas that is an easy way to extend the tool is with reports. Right now, as we showed, we have three reports, Excel, JSON, and HTML. Implementing a report writer is really easy, and you can customize it for your own needs. For instance, we've seen customers using it for CI builds, where they run this tool on every build of their product, and they output it into a format that they need.
Sweet. Also, as you may have noticed with the Visual Studio extension, it only outputs HTML. So our plans in the future is try to make it on par with the console tool. So in the future, hopefully, you can have all three output formats. As well, we're hoping to open source the Visual Studio extension so developers can see what's going on, add features, or even help us fix bugs.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, my friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and if you have any questions or any issues with the product, please log an issue at our GitHub page, and we will take a look.
All right, awesome. Looks really cool, guys and gals.